Harvesting what you sow. When the leaves begin to turn and the air gets chillier, I start thinking about pumpkin bread, weenie roast, and my uncle's apple cider party. The annual apple cider party is a big deal in my family. We gather together to help harvest the apples from my uncle's orchard, then sort and clean them so they can be carried to the cider press, where gallon upon gallon of delicious juice is squeezed from the ripened fruit. As several industrious souls take turns loading the cider press and clearing the debris, the rest of us gather in the shed to enjoy a cup of hot mulled cider and good conversation until it's time to roast weenies and dive into the delectable sides and desserts. No matter what the weather, this tradition has brought my family together in a way I'm not sure anything else could do. It's linked the past to the present and given us something to look forward to in the future. But there never would be an apple cider party if my uncle hadn't planted his orchard or taken care of the trees. The same is true of our lives. We can dream about how we'd like the world to be a better place and do nothing. We can push everything and everyone aside and focus on that one thing we believe will make us happy. Or we can work together with others, share our love with those around us, and create a world where God's light shines in everyone's life, lifting every person up so that our dreams become reality. In Galatians 6, 1-10, Paul reminds us how to treat each other and ourselves. Brothers, even if a man is caught in some fault, you who are spiritual must restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself so that you also aren't tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man examine his own work, and then he will have reason to boast in himself and not in someone else. For each man will bear his own burden. But let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not be weary in doing good, for we will reap in due season if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do what is good toward all men, and especially toward those who are of the household of the faith. Paul makes a valid point about harvesting what we sow. Just like our dreams of a better world, without an orchard of apple trees, there would be no apples nor apple cider. Those trees must be planted and cared for in order for us to enjoy their fruits. The same is true with anything in our lives, including creating a better tomorrow for ourselves and others. We must plant the seeds of love and forgiveness in ourselves and our children if we want to reap that love and forgiveness later. We must sow the grains of God's grace if we want our world to become a better place in the future. Yet, sowing the seeds is not enough if we want a grand harvest. We must nurture those seeds as well, or they may be choked by weeds of hate and fear, or die of thirst for love and lack of God's Son's light. Galatians 6, 1-10 is often used as instruction for gently correcting others, but it goes deeper than that. It is a reminder that we need to reach out to others in love and to be gentle with ourselves as well. These 10 verses instruct us to be mindful of what we think, say, and do, lest we sow seeds we don't want to harvest, like bitterness and envy. There are many verses in the Bible that speak to what we harvest from our actions, from this one in Galatians to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, which I briefly touched on earlier when I spoke about the weeds of hate and fear, to what we fondly refer to as the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Each of these verses speaks to the consequences of our actions. You may be nodding your head and agreeing that all our actions have consequences, both good and bad. Sometimes we reap anger and resentment, though, even when our best intentions are to sow love and helpfulness. It may be a case that you're unfortunate enough to reap what someone else has sown. Does that mean you turn away from that person? Obviously, that's not what God wants. It's hard to harvest those bad seeds, to be the one who receives sharp replies and frowns, even when we've done nothing to deserve them. But it's been my experience that, though it's tough in the short term, with enough sowing and nurturing of good seeds, most people will eventually become better, happier people over time. The question you may be asking now is, what does sowing good seeds and nurturing them look like? Sowing is probably the easiest. It can be as simple as smiling at a stranger as you pass by, or holding a door open for someone you don't know. It can be more involved, as in taking the time to listen to a coworker or customer tell you about the challenges they're facing in their lives right now. Perhaps it's getting involved with an organization that reaches out to others in need, either in crisis, like the Red Cross, or in day-to-day living, like Meals on Wheels. The possibilities are limited only by your imagination. Nurturing those seeds can be more challenging. Often it means keeping in contact with people, something that can be difficult in our busy lives. However, knowing that nurturing others through God's love will have a ripple effect on the rest of the world can make taking the time out to catch up with others feel like less of a burden and more of an enjoyable pastime. It doesn't mean we have to spend an entire day with another person, although that can certainly be a great experience for both you and the person you're nurturing. It could be a quick phone call, text message, IM, or email just to touch base. With the prevalence of social media, there are a million ways to keep in touch with the people we meet and nurture the seeds of God's life that have been sown. One of my favorite methods of sowing and nurturing seeds of kindness is remembering everyone has a backstory, a reason they behave the way they do. When I come in contact with someone who comes off surly or otherwise unpleasant, I remember how I felt on days when things are not going well. I treat that person to a smile, a light voice, and as much compassion as I can give. It comes in real handy during the Christmas rush when store clerks and customers alike are frazzled, but that's another story for another day. I've discovered that, over time, some of the customers I help begin to smile more and even crack a joke now and then. The transformation of these people with normally unpleasant attitudes has even awed my fellow coworkers on occasion. I call that proof that God can work in anyone's life through even the smallest actions on our part. The truth is, it's not easy to remember that what we think influences what we say and do, and that we must be watchful at all times. It's difficult in the best of times, and seemingly impossible in the heat of anger. Yet, unless we enjoy living in a world of sour grapes, it's very important to continuously be mindful of our thoughts, words, and actions, because when we sow the seeds of love and nurture them with tender care, we will harvest bushels upon bushels of the sweetest fruit we could ever imagine. If you enjoyed this message, please take a moment to let your friends know on your favorite social media. You can also purchase Messages from One Servant's Heart, Volume 1, from my website by going to www.virginiaripple.com and clicking on Nonfiction at the top of the page. Thank you for listening, and God bless.